Ahead and get started with a word of prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to gather together in this way through Zoom. Lord, we thank you for the technology that allows us to have that connection. And so, Lord, I pray that you protect the technology. I pray that you would enable us to study your word together and then pray together. And we ask, Lord, if it be your will, that you would keep me from having an attack till after this meeting's over. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. I'm going to open up here. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, is going to be our text. We're going to be staying in that chapter the whole evening, but of course, we'll be also looking at some other cross-references. So if you'd turn there to John, chapter 13. Okay, I noticed that more and more of you are joining as we've just finished praying. And so now, would you turn to John chapter 13? John chapter 13. I'm going to begin by just go ahead and read our text, which is verses 1 through 17 of John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." If we meditate on the scriptures long enough, we'll find that they teach us that once we're saved, God's will for us is to become like Christ. You are familiar with Romans chapter 8, verse 29. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son." Colossians 3:10, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." Galatians 5:22 and 23 gives us a list of Christ-like character qualities that the Holy Spirit produces in us as we cooperate with his transforming work in our lives. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There's one aspect of Christ-likeness which most, if not all of us, tend to overlook because it is not a character quality that the world or the flesh consider necessary or desirable. This quality is translated in the King James Version as meekness, and in the New American Standard Bible, it's translated gentleness. Unfortunately, because language changes over time, the word meekness, as it is used today, has come to denote spinelessness, which is not at all what the scripture is saying here. And because the word gentleness, although it gets closer to the meaning, still doesn't quite catch the scriptural meaning, we're going to define this word a little more precisely and hopefully understand better how the Lord wants us to apply it in our lives. Let's define this meekness slash gentleness. The Greek word most commonly used in Paul's epistles is praeutes, referring to gentleness of attitude and behavior, humility, courtesy, considerateness. All those are part of that definition. The Bible's use of the word further defines it. It is always used in the context of interaction with others. It describes a gentle submission toward God and toward others. It boils down to an attitude of voluntary servanthood. Notice Christ's example in our text that I read at the beginning of this message. In verses 4 and 5, let me read that again, that the Jesus got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then skip to verses 12 through 14. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." As Christ demonstrated in action and attitude, and then commanded his disciples and in turn us to emulate him, gentleness slash meekness is an attitude of voluntary servanthood. Now, having defined this important character quality, notice the prerequisites for meekness, gentleness. The first prerequisite is salvation. Notice verse 10 in our text. Jesus said to him, he's talking to Peter, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." Jesus told his disciples that one who has bathed, in other words, has been totally cleansed, then only needs to wash his feet. Bathe translates the Greek word luo, meaning to bathe, to take a bath. This total, thorough cleansing is referring to salvation, where the person who trusts Christ is fully cleansed from all his sins. Which brings us to the second prerequisite for meekness, gentleness, sanctification. Let's read verse 10 again. Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." Jesus told his disciples that one who has bathed, referring to salvation, then only needs to wash his feet. The Greek verb used here is nipto, which means wash, as in feet or hands. Jesus was referring to the fact that as we daily walk through life, we inevitably sin and need to claim the promise in 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. By that, the idea is that if we have trusted Christ as Savior and He's cleansed us from all our sin, then if we say we now are sinless for the rest of our lives, We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. The fact is that we do fall into sin in our thoughts, if nothing else. So verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what we're told here is that when you do notice that you have sinned, confess it to the Lord right away and trust him for his forgiveness. So this is the niptoe, this is the washing of the feet that get dirty along the trail of life. And this brings us to the third prerequisite for meekness, gentleness, self-denial. Self-denial refers to saying no to self, to your flesh. That's that flesh that says, I want, I deserve, I should have. Self-denial refers to accepting no for an answer from God, most of all, and also from others. For example, Moses, whom the Bible describes as the meekest man that ever lived, when told he would not enter the promised land, accepted it without question. Having defined this important character quality and understood the three prerequisites, notice next the pattern for meekness, gentleness. We find this pattern perfectly in Christ's example. Notice his attitude and response toward his earthly parents and others in authority. If you want, you can turn to Luke chapter 2 without losing your place in John chapter 13. But Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 51, read this way. Then, after 3 days, they found him, that is Jesus, in the temple. He was 12 years old here, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So notice his attitude of submission and quiet acceptance of those who are in authority over him. Notice his attitude and response toward his heavenly Father's will. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, we read this, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. This is what the Lord Jesus said when he was led to the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. Even though Jesus, in his humanity, did not look forward to the torture, and also in his own spirit, being separated from his Father, God the Father, during that time when he took all our sins on himself, he said, Not my will, but yours be done. We've already seen his attitude and response toward his friends and disciples in our text in John 13 already, so I won't go over that again. But then notice finally his attitude and response toward his persecutors. In Acts chapter 8, verse 32, an Ethiopian official in his chariot was reading this Old Testament prophecy about Christ. So let me read Acts chapter 8, verse 32. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. And then notice Matthew 26, 51 through 54. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. We know from another account that this was Peter who did this. Verse 52, then Jesus said to him, that is to Peter, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way, that is, that he must suffer and die on the cross of Calvary? Mark chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. The chief priests began to accuse him harshly. Then Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer. So Pilate was amazed. You see how the Lord Jesus responded toward his persecutors. We've seen the pattern for meekness, gentleness, exemplified by Christ. Notice finally the practice of meekness. I hope that as we cover this point, that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to show you whether or not this is reflected in your life. What is your attitude and response toward those in authority over you? Is it Christ-like submission, or general foot-dragging, or even arguing, or other forms of rebellion? What is your attitude and response toward God's will for you? Is it Christ-like submission, or general disregard of his will for you? What's your attitude and response toward others around you? Is it voluntary servanthood, Christ-like meekness, gentleness? Or is it vying for supremacy? Is it considerate or selfish? And finally, what's your attitude and response toward those who mistreat you? Is it voluntary servanthood, Christ-like gentleness, meekness? Or is it fighting for your rights? Maybe even revenge? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, we read this: "For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges rightly." So my question to you is this: will you follow your Lord's example? Will you learn meekness, gentleness from him by depending on him to enable you to act and react with a Christ-like spirit of meekness, gentleness, servanthood? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture in John chapter 13 that reveals so much about your will for us and this character quality that we so often overlook. It's not something that we think of as important, but Lord, we see how important it was in the life of our Lord Jesus when he was here on earth, and what he wants for us to emulate. I pray, Father, that as we've studied this meekness, gentleness, as defined in Scripture and used in Scripture, Lord, I pray that we would desire for you to work that in us, that we would think about how to respond and react in a way that would glorify you in Christ-like meekness, gentleness, and servanthood. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.